Welcome to the K-Connect podcast, where collective impact meets practical steps for change. The K-Connect podcast focuses on system-level work, policy, community engagement, and more.
Welcome to the K-Connect podcast. We are so excited to be with you today. It's not just K-Connect today. It is truly a party. We have two of our policy fellows, honestly, our only policy fellows, I should say. My name is Megan Frierson. I am the Director of System Building at K-Connect, and I'm not the only host here today. I'm also joined by my partner in crime. Heading over to you, Dr. Shayla Young.
All right. Thank you, Megan. And I am also excited to be here today. And can we just point out the sun is shining today? It's a beautiful day outside, and we have a beautiful episode ahead of us today. So thanks for having me here as your co-host. Today's going to be a special one.
And before we turn it over to our policy fellows, which I know they are excited to start telling their story, I would like to paint a little bit of context for this. So I will let you know that, you know, K-Connect is collective impact, systems level change, working with the community. And we have been doing for years many work around education and convening those leaders in that space. And so it was really nice for once to have those educators right on our team. That lived experience to be able to provide their insight. And so this was the first where we really had kind of that intersection between education, collective impact, and policy. And so, you know, you heard from Dr. Shayla Young, you heard from myself. I want to turn it over to our policy fellows in the building today. We have Dr. Christopher Cadogan from Lansing Public Schools, and he is a true leader and educator in our community. And then we also have Yara Barbosa from East Kenwood High School, so right here in Kent County. So first, let's go ahead and have you both kind of just share a little bit about yourselves and what brought you to the field of education.
All right, I'll go first. My name is Yara Barbosa. I was actually born in São Paulo, Brazil, and I came to Chicago when I was 9 years old. And what brought me to Michigan was Grand Valley State University. I ended up loving Michigan, and so I stayed. And then I just finished my master's program last year through Mount Holyoke College. And I've been a teacher at East Kentwood High School for 5 years now. What brought me to education was not the traditional path. I'm not the kind of person that thought that I wanted to be a teacher since I was a little girl. Actually, I didn't even go to college thinking I wanted to be a teacher. So I started out taking some nursing classes, but also some philosophy classes because I really enjoyed that. And it was when I was sitting in those philosophy classes that I realized that I really enjoy meaningful conversations where we encourage each other to be curious and just to basically think about life and the systems that revolve around us. And so I figured, what do I actually want to do that makes me happy and passionate? And it sure was not those organic chemistry classes. And so I thought, you know, I love languages. English was always my strong suit in school, and I love learning. And so to be a teacher is to be a lifelong learner. And so I felt very compelled to move forward with the decision to become a high school educator. And I was specifically focused on high school because then you can have those kind of like deeper level conversations with them. Because even though, you know, they're ranging from 14 to 18 years old, they are all so unique. And they're even in their developmental stages, they're also unique. So we're always learning. There's always something new every single day. And yeah, that's what brought me to the classroom.
And I'll go ahead and jump in. So my name is Chris Cadogan. I am currently a principal in the Lansing School District. What's really cool is I'm actually from Lansing, and I graduated from the Lansing School District. And it's just been really dope to be able to contribute to the same city that gave me so much. So as far as my experience with education, I'll say it like this all the time when I talk to people and answer the same question. In my community, teachers were our doctors. And so I didn't grow up with a lot of doctors around me, but I did grow up with some really, really dope teachers. And my teachers, I always said that they were the coolest people in the world. One of my teachers, I just remember him from an early age. When we had pep rallies, he would bring his band together, and they would play at the pep rallies. And I'm like, man, that'd be so dope if I could do that someday. And you know, the other cool caveat to that is these were also men of color. And so to be able to grow up with those kind of big figures in my life who, in addition to everything that they did for me educationally, they just poured into me as a man. It really kind of shaped how I saw my own identity. It shaped how I saw myself and how I was situated in the city that I grew up in. And it definitely kind of instilled in me that it was really important that no matter what I did, it was my responsibility to give back to my community. So, of course, went to undergrad. If you're from Michigan, you know that there's a lot of really big name schools in Michigan, but none like Central Michigan University.
I think you're going to get into some fights at this table with everybody.
So, you know, I graduated from there, but at the time that I graduated from Central Michigan, there literally wasn't teaching jobs, and so I ended up having to go a more scenic way. I went to youth ministry until I got into Teach for America. Once I got into Teach for America, I ended up leaving the state of Michigan. I went to New York and then went to Milwaukee and taught in both those places. But a really cool thing happened. I want to say 2015, 2016, LeBron James left Miami and said, I got to go back home. And so he left Miami to go back to Cleveland. Said he got to win a chip for the city. And you know what? He won a chip for the city. And that inspired me to go back home to Lansing, Michigan. Long story short, I ended up back in Lansing, Michigan, where I currently reside as a principal. So that's longer than you guys wanted, but I answered the question. Back to you, Megan.
Not at all. I think that's perfect. You know, one thing about K-Connect, we believe in the gift of storytelling and really painting the picture. And so I don't know about you, Shayla. You know, like I said, this is really informal. Our policy fellows, I mean, they do the work. They walk the talk. They are it, right? They're our educators that we all should be aware of. And I love that, Chris, you know, when you look at K-Connect's data dashboard, we have an indicator, which is called culturally responsive instruction. And it really looks at the total number of educators of color in Kent or ISD. And so what we have seen is that even though the community is around, the county is around 30% people of color, our educators are at 6%. And so you just gave a perfect example of the power of mentorship and how, like, teachers were our heroes at one point. And they still should be. And definitely are, but how you looked up to them so much that really veered your thoughts in regards to what career you wanted to go into. I don't know. I mean, Shayla, do you have anything to add to that as well?
No, I mean, I just want to lift some of these quotes that I got. Like, these are some of the quotes that I'm carrying with me, and we just got started. Yara said, to be a teacher is to be a lifelong learner. And yes, I mean, you know what? I didn't even do my spiel, Megan. I didn't even do it. If you hear something that resonates with you over the course of this podcast episode, do us a favor. Give us some snaps. Give us some claps wherever you are. But most importantly, give us some taps on that subscribe and like button. And leave a comment for us, too. So Yara, you said that. And Chris, you said, and this is to your point, Megan, in my community, teachers were our doctors. Mm-hmm. And Megan, you added to that saying they were our heroes. Mm-hmm. Like that stuck with me. That stuck with me.
And even, you know, on the line of that, let's talk about, you know, the day-to-day. So what would you say was the most rewarding thing to you all? What is the most rewarding thing about being an educator?
Two ladies first.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for pointing that out. And I forgot to say thank you, Megan, for all of our introductions. But all of us know here that a lot of our jobs are thankless jobs, you two included, right? You don't just have to be an educator to have a thankless job. But I do feel so fulfilled by watching the progress that students make when It's not just throughout the school year. It's like when they come back and they say hello, because, you know, we always kind of see the fruits of our labor like later on if they come back and say hello, and then you just look at them and they have this like light and spark and energy about them that they sure did not have in April in your class. And so for me, it's really seeing, you know, they are improving, whether it's their reading, their writing, or their communication skills. But when they come back and they just want to see how you're doing and say that they miss your class, that's just very fulfilling. Today, actually, a student gave me a little plant that he grew in, I think it was either chemistry or biology class. And it's one of those things that, like, you're not expecting it. But it's one of those students that I never would have, you know, connected with had we not talked about plants at some point, you know, because I'm in English class. And so it's those little things that kind of keep us going, because kids need so much that they don't get through all sorts of paths in their lives. Like, they need so much love and so much support, and so we try to do the most. And so when we hear that, they're like, you know, it really made a difference. It's always really nice.
Yeah, I definitely would piggyback off of that and say all those kind of moments where we get to see the impact when you get to work with a younger age kid. They come back to you, a grown person. That's nuts. But I think where my mind is currently, right around this time for all schools in Michigan, we start to do our state standardized tests. When I was a classroom teacher, you know, I think I appreciated it, but I also had issue with it, you know, just because, you know, we don't have standard kids, and so the idea of a standardized test. But as an administrator, I think one of the things that I've consistently done is just read a lot of the research around what these tests are predictive of. One of the words that we hear and use in education a lot is proficiency, or the extent to which a student is grade level ready. And when we look on the research for students of color, and we look at how if a student is or is not proficient, the research suggests that there are some long-term life outcomes that are really kind of bound up in that number. And as an administrator, it can be really easy to get caught up in just doing numbers games, you know, like, I got to get this number. But as an administrator at a K-4 school, one of the things that I've gotten to see is, you know, you get, and I'm not going to get choked up about no numbers right now, but I was earlier this week. You get a chance to work with little babies that come into your building. This risk factor, that risk factor, and especially for me, because I'm a black male, and so I had ADHD, still got ADHD, was all over the place. My focus, you know, and so standardized tests definitely wasn't my bag. Mm-hmm. But I've learned over the course of my career to really, really hone in on that, because there are high stakes assessed or associated with these things, not for my job, but for my kids' lives. And this year I've started to really recognize if we play this game the right way, like, we can alter the lives of our kids. And so to really be able, I'm going long-winded, but to really be able to watch as my kids who had no chance of passing some of those state tests hit, you know, I started off with saying win a chip for the city. Like, that's how I feel with my kids, like, do that, you know, because the research is grim. It's really grim, you know. And so if we can get one more black boy to hit, you know, one more brown boy to hit, you know, one more low SES, you know, student of any color to hit, I'm like, yeah, we're doing it. And so that's a fun thing for me. You know, there's trade-offs, though, because when you see who doesn't make it off of the ship or onto the ship, you know. But I'm talking about what's fun. The fun thing is to see who you can deliver to the promised land, or at least give a good chance to. So
I love that.
Right. That was beautiful. Chris is about to have everybody in here in tears.
It's testing week, man. I'm in my feels right now.
I mean, the passion. I mean, yeah. I know this is not, we're recording, but it's not, we don't have, you know, visuals of this. And so, like, just if you all were here, you would just be in awe. I mean, the passion that both of these educators have is unreal. And I love that. I know Shedla's over here writing out all these quotes, but we don't have standard kids. So why standardized tests? I mean, Chris, you know, you're a natural on this podcast. I feel like we need, I'm sure they're out there, like, you know, hundreds of thousands more educators like you all. So truly, truly passionate folks. You heard us quite a bit talk about Teach for America. And so I want to throw a little bit of information around that, as we were so grateful to have two policy fellows. And shout out to Courtney Segman. She is the Managing Director for Policy Fellowship. Yeah. Shayla, I don't know. Do you remember how I was like, how do we get connected? I feel like Courtney has been a part of our family for like 2 years. And we literally probably just met her here, you know, at the beginning of the year. I feel like we've been talking to her for the longest and finally got to see her in person at our education summit, which was beautiful, right? That support that Teach for America had for their fellows. So I don't know, Shayla, do you remember that when we introduced to Courtney? I don't know. I just feel like we've been working with her for a while and it's been great.
Yeah, I can't remember initially how we got connected. But I do remember that initial meeting that the two of us had with Courtney, and she shared what she was trying to, you know, what she was trying to do in terms of diversifying the different organizations that were a part of the fellowship. And so we were like, capacity building.
We need that.
What? Sign us up. They get paid and you pay them? Oh yeah, sign us up. And so what has been built from that? You know, I think we've even as an organization have said, okay, how do we factor in not just a fellowship, but continuing the relationship with the both of you, you know, with K-Connect, because it is a different type of conversation to have educators carry a collective impact mission, you know, and even you all are signaling to me that collective and shared responsibility when you just say my kids, when my kids hit, when my kids do that. Right. And so it's just this has been a phenomenal, I think, experience for us.
Right. And then, Chris, I love how you make, you know, education feel like an NBA game. Like, I love that. Like, I was like, you know, yes, all the kids get excited. But let me share a little bit more with the audience about Teach Michigan. So Teach Michigan is a talent initiative powered by Teach for America Detroit, which aims to make Michigan the best place to be an educator through best-in-class professional development, innovation, financial incentives. Y'all hear that? Financial incentives and a connected community. The impact of Teach Michigan fellows are amplified and studied to inform Michigan leaders more broadly around education policy necessary to make Michigan the best place to be a teacher and a leader. Remember, teachers are leaders. Yes. The Michigan Education Policy Fellowship is for educators interested in public policy, advocacy, and organizing. Using a cohort model, Teach for America Detroit and Teach Michigan provide fellows with professional development through workshops, coaching, and communities of practice. Communities of practice is big, right? To always be able to lean on others as you're going through that experience. Fellows are also matched with education policy organizations to lead projects in their communities and gain hands-on experience. And, you know, I wish Courtney was here today because I could ask. I think collective impact was kind of new for them with the policy fellows, like to have policy fellows working with the collective impact organization. And what we'll do in the notes, Shayla, I know we can make sure that we have this. We'll have the teachmichigan.org link there. So folks, if you want to learn more about it, so feel free to check them out, especially if you're an educator, because you will learn more about that fellows' experiences through this conversation.
Yeah, I'm even interested to learn, you know, from you both, like how did you find out about this fellowship and what prompted you to apply and follow through with the process?
I can start.
He looks like y'all every
Chris
time.
Is not.
No, I guess. The ladies go first. That's what he's trying to do.
Such a gentleman. I appreciate it. So I don't know, I've always been interested in anything systems level thinking, right? So I'm a part of our union. Since I started, since I started teaching, I'm like, how can I sign up for the union? And so I then became a union ambassador. And so I had a friend who was also an ambassador. And we were both attending, Kentwood hosted a couple of meetings for us to be able to understand more about these fellowships, because the policy one is not the only one. And so I was attending the meeting, and I went 2 years in a row. I couldn't apply my first year because I was doing my master's, and I thought that was going to be too much. And so the second year, which was, I think, technically last year, I went, and I heard the spiel about the other three that were offered, but the policy one was actually never mentioned. And so that was interesting. I would have had no idea if it wasn't for my union colleague who said, hey, you'd be perfect for this. Like, this sounds like so up your alley. Why don't you apply? And I'm like, girl, what do you mean? Like, I don't even know that that's a thing. And so when I went on their website and I finally looked into it, I did wonder, like, why is this one not being talked about at the meeting? But it was perfect. And so I thought, this is exactly what I want to do. I've already been volunteering in various different sectors of like the community, with the committee to honor Cesar Chavez, to the museum, and then randomly giving input at the Meyer Gardens for their education program. So just the whole fellowship seemed amazing, almost like too good to be true. And especially because it's, you know, a teacher retention program. So the incentive is also a financial incentive. So that's amazing, because I don't want to have us just volunteer our time. Of course, that's important. But if we can get paid for doing the amazing work that we all love to do outside of the classroom, that's the goal, because a lot of us already have two jobs all throughout the whole school year. So having a paid opportunity to do what you love, do important work, it just seemed like exactly what I needed. And it turned out to be that way.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like, what did you hope to experience, right? And you're signing up, you have the incentives that range from financial to, you know, different exposure to different things. But what was it that you were hoping for from this opportunity?
Honestly, I feel very blessed, because I feel like what I got out of it is exactly what I was hoping for. I came into this with absolutely needing to understand more about how the political world works with the education system. And so that's even, you know, getting paid for your time to sit down and do the research, because doing the research alone takes so much time. When you're in college, you're reading and researching and analyzing and doing all of that because that's kind of your job. And then you're a teacher and you're like, how do I find the time? I have to grade 150 essays. Like, I would love to sit down and read all these bills that are so important that I want to advocate for, but it's just not feasible with time. And so this was, I was just really hoping to understand more about, you know, what's out there. What are the bills being trying to get passed? How do we advocate for those bills? Like, how does the education system work in terms of school funding? Like, what does the school board do? And so I feel like a lot of us have these types of questions. And my hope was that instead of just continuously being frustrated with such systems, I would hope to learn how to make an impact so that I can feel like we're making progress and not just always complaining about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think my experience is kind of like that. I guess I can organize it into two broad like categories. And I think the first is education is kind of like one of the few fields where the experts aren't the expert in the field. So like as teachers, principals, we know a lot about the field, but it's legislators who make a lot of decisions for us. Mm-hmm. You know, so all of a sudden they feel like we got to do this for the schools because they're teaching this thing that's going to kill the kids, you know, or they're not teaching this thing that's going to liberate the kids. Mm. But oftentimes our feedback isn't ever kind of like elicited. And so You know, I've always been one that, like, if it's outside of my locus of control, I want all that. You know, if I really don't know much about it, it's, I can be sitting here with a cup of coffee, but your cup of coffee, I want to know about your cup of coffee. So that's a problem, but I'm curious as well. So I think part of applying for the fellowship was that. But I also do think, this is probably year like 10 or 11 in the field for me, and I think I was getting a little itchy, like, I don't know, man, this managing adults, that's tough, man, like, she came in late and then
we can't hear you. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
But yeah, like it just, I think it was the work can wear on you. And so I was just rage indeeding, as people my age do. And so if you don't know what rage indeeding is, you just go on indeed.com and just look, maybe apply. Indeed some more, maybe apply. You know, and nobody in my building knows this, so hopefully.
Ooh, Chris,
I got some tea. Okay.
But he's good today. He's good today.
I'm good today. This is a retention program. I was maybe doing that. Can't confirm or deny. And then a couple of my colleagues did the Aspiring Leaders program. I knew for me, like, you know, I'm a building leader. You know. Part of my thing, I always want to, you know, I'm perpetually in that state of, what am I going to do when I grow up? You know, I'm 36 now, but still think, what am I going to do when I grow up? And so I couldn't answer that question. And this program, what's really dope about it, it said policy, and it said fellowship. I love policy, and I really do love the work that I do. And it gave me, I told my wife at the time, I was like, babe, I don't got to leave. I can stay. Mm-hmm. I can have meaning in the work that I do. And I had already did Teach for America prior to. And so I knew about the professional development. And, you know, a big part, you know, I think, Yetta didn't say this, but I think it's real. You know, as educators, it can be a lonely field. And so to be able to be in a fellowship with, you know, co-conspirators is just dope. And it's energizing to come to the table with other people who are like, what y'all doing over there? You know, because that's what policy fellowship is. Mm-hmm. You know, we're asking questions. We're getting to read the stuff. Oh, you trying to slip that bill in there? No, not today. Mm-hmm. These are things that, like, really gave me life. And so I applied for it not knowing anything about it. I didn't even read the fine print. I just knew this said application was due at this point. Me and Yetta, like, joke all the time. Like, what are we supposed to do?
You know, no, like, I read every fine print. I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe that's somebody else. But I didn't know. I had time. So I applied for it. Courtney hit me up. Woo. Got the fellowship. And it really has, like, taken off that extra juice that I felt like maybe I needed to deploy in another space. And it has given me more life in my role, because I do have questions, but now I don't feel the need to ask anybody, because now I recognize that whoever I thought I was going to ask, they don't have the answers. That education is this wide field of multiple players. What's collective impact? Mm-hmm. Wow, we have like third players, you know, that work between ISDs, districts, philanthropy. Like, K-Connect was like a revolution, you know, that I had no idea about. And so I remember talking to Megan, like, so what is this again? Who funds this? What do you guys do then? Oh my gosh. You know, and so, and I guess to the second question about what was I hoping, truthfully, to talk about policy, to write a lot, to research, and just to hang out with people. And I found out I get paid to do that. So it's just Merry Christmas every day. So, happy Hanukkah.
And happy Kwanzaa. Before we move on, I just want to point something out that you said. You asking for what somebody else's, like, what type of coffee is in somebody else's cup, you said it's a problem. It's not. It's an asset. And I've always admired that about you from day one of this fellowship, because you came asking those types of questions, and those are the questions that we need to be asking. Yeah. Because when we ask, I think it was LeGrand at Ed Summit, right? When we ask, okay, that school is doing something for those students, what can we be doing? Just like that. You're the type of guy who asks those questions. You're like, where's that money coming from? How can we get that money to the schools? So just wanted to shout you out for that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, that curiosity, I love it. And I will say, you know, one question I want to ask Chris, that's a little bit off script, but I'll ask, you know, for you, it was unique. Like, Yara works for a high school in Kent County. Mm-hmm. For you, you were in Lansing, and you were paired with a Kent County organization located in Grand Rapids. Yeah. So it was a little bit unique. So you have the day-to-day of going, and I guess it's not off script because, you know, Yara, you can definitely add to this too. You have the day-to-day of being an educator in the classroom or in your building or your school, you know, working with students and in administration and educators. And then you also, then you went home and had additional work, you know, where you were working on whether events, you know, connections, meetings. So can you talk a little bit about how that working with someone that's from outside of your area, as well as kind of navigating between the two?
Yeah. And Megan will know, I was disappointed when I got linked up with
KConnect. He didn't want me, y'all. He did not want me.
You know, I was like, oh, okay.
I was like, but we're really fun. You'll like us. I watch. You'll like us. You're going to learn a lot. Trust me.
But Kent County? And truthfully, I didn't know Kent County was, like, Grand Rapids was in Kent County. So I was extra scared. Like, I was like, they don't even have me in the city? Like, what's going on here? But what I end up finding out is, there's just so much going on, and maybe for everybody in Kent County, they don't know this, but like KConnect, I described it to somebody at the Ed Summit at KConnect is like an octopus. There is like so many tentacles in everything. That's probably not the best metaphor, but
it's accurate.
Is what it is.
It's accurate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like they do some of everything all the time, everywhere in Kent County. And I think to the question, what has it been like to be able to see that and then go home? I'm looking for that type of overarching organization in Lansing. And I'm sure there's some trade-offs with KConnect's big, you know, footprint and stuff like that that, you know, maybe you guys struggle with. But for me, all I see is opportunity at this point in time in my journey, and I want that for Lansing. And so it's really cool. One of the dope opportunities that I got with KConnect folk is that I got to go to the Strive Together conference and learn a little bit about a little bit more about collective impact and those kind of models, and how you can scale those models, what kind of funding exists around those models, and the great work that can be done. Because as an educator, I think about educational outcomes while knowing that educational outcomes are linked to a whole host of outcomes that fall out the reach of teachers. We may impact those things, but we're not first primary impactors on housing. We're not primary responders to infant mortality rates. But those things are really, really important to the work that we do. And so to be able to watch you guys work in the different sectors that you guys work in, it's just dope. And it's something that I really get to kind of chew on. And every time I go to stuff in Lansing, I really do. I'm just trying to explain what you guys do and what I'm doing. And every time I do it, I come up with a more succinct way. Like what I just said was after like 20 times of me trying to explain to my wife. Because my wife is just like, I really don't get it. I really don't get it. And I'm like, well, maybe if you read to get, you know, so I've stopped doing that. But all that to say, it's been awesome to do that, to be able to go to leave my city and see the kind of work that you guys do and participate in it. So thank you for that opportunity.
No, thank you, Chris. And I think, you know, one important thing for us specifically on that Tulsa trip, right, is that the expert of experience, mm-hmm. right? We as a collective impact system building organization can, you know, bring folks together cross sector and to build strategy mm-hmm. around education, but to have educators mm-hmm. as the consultants, mm-hmm. as the experts saying, actually, this is how this would play out at my school. Mm-hmm. This is what it would look like for my parents. Have you considered parents, right? So that, I think, brought just a different dimension of understanding for us as a collective impact on that form of expertise mm-hmm. being at the table. And I just looked up tell me something about an octopus. You know, I just used AI.
They're brilliant. They're brilliant.
That's what I found, Yara. Yeah. That's exactly what I found. They can solve puzzles, navigate the different mazes. We're going to figure it out. Okay, connect as an octopus. Absolutely. Tell us how.
And that's a compliment.
Absolutely.
I will say I do feel like that day to day. I'm like reaching in all different baskets, and I'm like, okay, you know, making sense of it and being able to, you know, integrate it into the community and build those connections. So that was a great example, Chris. And I will tell you, I have been at K Connect for almost 3 years, and if you ask my husband, and I hope he's not listening to this, he has asked me the same question. It's hard to explain, but you just, you know you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Feels good.
Mm-hmm. K Connect Calamari.
Calamari. I was like, calamari. No, we're not. Well, we're going to turn it over to Yara at this moment so she can talk about her day to day.
Okay. No.
I'm done.
No, I love that. I feel like my day to day, like, this is just a part of my life, like this type of work. And so a lot of what we advocate for at K-Connect relates to education and exactly what we're doing in the classroom, what we're talking about in the halls, right? Like, I think of me and my colleagues, like, we have so many hall conversations where we're like, man, if only we could change this, if only we could do this, like, who's watching out for us, right? And so this is the type of work that we do. So when I think of the workload, I'm honestly kind of used to the type of workload because there's never been a year of teaching so far. I'm only on year five. Hopefully next year I'll have a little less work. But there's never been a year of teaching where I haven't been doing something extra. And so the workload for this has just felt like another part of my life. And it's so fulfilling that it doesn't feel like it's weighing on me in any way. And, you know, some days are tougher than others when I have so much to grade and everything. And I have to also do a K-Connect, piece of writing or something like that. But I loved it because it just keeps everything grounded for me. A lot of the times in education, when you feel like you can't, like, we make impact, but you can't make real change, like in societal change, I come back to this work with K-Connect and I'm like, you know what? But we're doing the thing. We're doing something. We're doing lots of amazing advocacy, and this is the type of work that we need. And so, I've had to manage my time very carefully, but so far, it's just felt like a part of my day.
Yeah, and we're gonna kind of let's maybe shift gears to what the fellowship was like day to day, right? So when Megan and I were like, yes, we want to do this. We want to sign up. We did not have necessarily a framework or anything. And so we built kind of this 4-part framework, like right off the cuff. And it was 4 different stages or areas of exploration, right? It was exploration and research, awareness and education, relationship building, and capacity building. These were kind of the 4 buckets where we found this is where it might be most impactful for a fellow coming in to, one, learn about K-Connect, do the policy work that they hope to do out of this fellowship, but then also produce, right? And so can you talk, Chris, a little bit about what was that like for you? What was that experience like for you on your end?
Yeah, no, I think on a day-to-day, so as a principal, like, I'm just swimming in it. And so, but you get out of work, and then you start to just read. And for me, I like to talk. However, I find that the best way for me to think is to write. And so I do a lot of writing. And so the fellowship has just been a outlet to do a lot of that work and do some really, like, boring, nerdy stuff. I mean, boring to some, but for me, it's just been I can geek out on some stuff. And, you know, I think about our advocacy day. And for the most part, the fellowship with K-Connect consisted of that kind of process. But then we'd have these large peaks where we had to prepare. And I remember we did the advocacy day around optimal care coverage. And that was a lot of me just trying to be diligent because I knew we were going to be in front of legislators, and I didn't want to sound stupid. I knew it was a great opportunity, and I wanted to take advantage of it. And once we did it, it was just like, okay, I need to do some more reading about this. I need to track these bills to see how they – and then the next couple of weeks, I just spent tracking the bill, and I was dead at arrival, so that sucked. But that really helped to shape me and really kind of think through, like, it's just regular people here. My legislator, she lived right down the street from me. Mm-hmm. How come I don't knock, well, I shouldn't knock on her door, but how come I don't send her an email? So, and that's what the fellowship has been. It's just learning, writing, and then taking advantage of the opportunities that you guys have given us to participate in advocacy.
Yeah, that advocacy day was really just, like, for you guys, that was maybe one of the introducing type of events for K-Connect and policy work. But for us, it was a culmination of, 2 years of building a policy agenda, going to our network, refining it, and getting action steps down, building an advocacy framework, and boom, that was us putting it into action that day. And so, Yara, I want to know what was that day like for you, too? Because we heard a lot about Yara that day. We heard,
did you?
Yes, like, Yara was in there with the legislators, and she was amazing. I got that on repeat. Tell us what that day was like for you.
Well, thank you. That's nice to know.
Hey, these teachers.
Yeah. So I feel like the preparation for that was very eye-opening for me. As Chris said, like, we had to know our stuff, and there still wasn't enough time or brain cells to know everything. But what you helped me do is research all the legislators that we might potentially see or who are even involved. And doing that work just reminded me so much of, like, these are real humans, and we, live with them. They make our changes that are so impactful to our society. And so that research really, it was a lot because my name started to get all confused and what committees they're a part of and what chairs, and they all have so many different expertise. But it was the perfect start because, every one of us was a little bit nervous, but when I was in there, I had a little bit of experience, like, being in those types of settings with legislators and, like, quote unquote important people. But I wasn't ever, like, kind of asking them for anything. So I felt pretty comfortable in that setting, but the ask was a little bit nerve-wracking, just because, especially, like, depending on the party, we all have our own personal beliefs, and K-Connect is a nonpartisan, but you come in also as a human, right? And you have your own beliefs. And so I think I did a decent job at kind of maintaining my cool, sticking to my points and kind of voicing everything that we are advocating for from that genuine passion to make change that impacts everybody. I mean, the act that we were advocating for, it's just good for people. Yeah. And so when you truly believe, like, what you're going in there to talk about, I feel like that makes all the difference. Like, anyone can tell somebody who's not someone who isn't disingenuous about what they're trying to ask. And so you guys just did a really great job preparing us. Like, it just speaks to, like, what kind of leaders you are, too, because Chris and I, that was our first big thing. We were like, okay, we just started this fellowship, and now we're in Lansing at the Capitol, right? And so it was just really impactful, and it felt like it was the perfect, like, catalyst to all of the work that we've been doing.
Yeah, and I will say, what was that, like, week 3 or so of your fellowship? And to be completely honest, it was new for us too. Like, that was a new experience. So me as a K-Connect staff, backbone staff, I learned so much about myself. It was a little nerve-wracking. Like, how did you feel? Like, walking into those rooms, it was a little intimidating at first. But by the time you got to, like, the second or the third one, that's when, you're like, okay, yep, I can do this. I understand, what I'm talking about, why I'm here. I have those stories. And so, I don't know, Chris, do you have anything else to add maybe about that day, like how you felt walking in? Or, because, I mean, for you, Chris's fellowship was a little different. Like, Yara did a lot of the preparation for the advocacy day, so working really diving into the research. Well, with Chris, I will be honest, it was new to both of us. He was helping me with a lot of different areas. We knew it was going to have some policy focus, but then with his work around culturally responsive instruction, you all will hear about that soon, he was helping me in that area as we look at the teacher pipeline. And so I don't know. I mean, after that, but how did you feel after meeting? Was it something that excited you more? Or did it allow you to say, okay, yep, K-Connect, this is the right fellowship for me? Because I know at first you were a little leery about the process.
No, I mean, I think the thing I'll just add, initially, just being next to, I think his name was Chad from MLPB. Was his name Chad?
Patrick?
Patrick.
Damn.
Come on.
Pat, I'm sorry.
Shout out to
yes. MLPP.
Yes,
shout
absolutely.
Out to MLPP.
Technical
held us
partner.
Down.
God.
Got us
hold
together.
Me down. I'm sorry. But Pat knew his stuff, and I had to keep reminding myself, like, this is his job. This is his job. But then to also be in a room with, only reason why I got her name locked in is because it's a classic song. Aisha. From Mother and Justice. She got up there and she had the pat bag. Like, she had that knowledge. But, like, her lived experience type John is the only thing I can think of. Just was so, like, wow. Mm-hmm. Like, the authenticity just was just so powerful for me. And so to be able to sit and just watch her. Then I met Christina from Mother and Justice, too, because you guys really did a great job of putting us with an expert. And again, just back to what Yada was saying, power of storytelling. You can know the facts. You can know the data. But when you get in front of these people, the thing that's about to win is going to be the story. Do you have a compelling story? So for me, you know, being a principal, I'm in positions where I have to talk a lot and sound compelling. It was a really awesome experience to be able just to step back and just listen to these people articulate these stories like that, you know. So why should I know about this bill? Well, let me tell you about myself, you know, and them to exude the same amount of authenticity every time. So, just powerful.
Yeah. And I would say, Chris, you're giving a bit of a advocacy training right here, right? So anything else, we know that Chris has truly learned through this fellowship, as well as myself, with the power of MLPP's Michigan League for Public Policies, advocacy training, understanding education policies. We actually got to do that collectively together as part of our education summit. K-Connect's first education summit, bringing together educators, students, families, parents, organizations, community partners, you name it, and legislators and lawmakers, bringing them to one space to have that conversation around student well-being as well as student wraparound supports, like really focusing on students, right? That's the reason why we were all there. And so, you know, I mentioned a little bit about, you know, Chris, when you came in, it was a lot of focus with culturally responsive instruction because I knew that you had did some work and some research in that area, which brings to me, you know, the next kind of phase or part of this conversation is around your capstone project. So, you know, part of this fellowship is that, you know, you definitely are learning a lot and being involved and working heavily with that organization, but there is a capstone project. Now, me and Shayla, we did the capstone project with a twist. We twisted it up a little bit for them. So they did not realize, like, okay, I'm going to do this project. But I didn't know I was going to have to present about this project twice, I had one finger up twice, okay? So they did. One was down at the Education Summit where I could tell you these two did beautifully, beautifully. And then the second time is going to be at K-Connect's May Accountability Partners Council where, guess what, y'all? They actually get to get in front of our entire network and talk about their work that they're doing and the impact that they want to have and how it impacted them. So I'm going to turn it over to you to have you all talk a little bit about your final capstone project. I'm going to switch gears because we've been going to Yara first, and I'm going to swing it back to Chris first. Yep, because I know you love absolutely. You've been throwing it to her first. I'm going to turn it over to you. So talk a little bit about your final project and just even that experience at the Education Summit that, you know, I forgot to tell you that the dress, he was like, what's the dress code for the Education Summit? And I said, you know, it's a community event.
We all had our different.
It was a new, K-Connect typically does events with partners. It was new for us in the community. So let me just tell you, Chris came suited and booted. He was ready to go, but he came in to win.
With
so
folks from Lansing, that's right.
Yes, with a whole team, which I loved. He brought his, as you call like your squad, you brought
squad.
Your squad.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. So, you know, I really appreciate kind of teeing that up. One of the things that I've learned in K-Connect and just working with different people is that there are so many different ways to make an impact. you know, as a teacher and as an administrator, I think about the school being the site of where all the powerful things happen. And I do believe that, but there are spaces outside of schools that are school adjacent that are also powerful places. And I've been doing school adjacent stuff for a little bit now, and just in working with K-Connect, I've just really realized, like, I should probably take this a little bit more seriously. And so when the kind of, I guess, the capstone project opportunity arose, I was like, you know what? There's some postdoctoral work that I really want to get into. I'm going to affectionately call her a homegirl, my homegirl, Liesl, who is also a Dell graduate. Dr. Shayla is also a Dell graduate.
All right,
MSU,
shout out.
MSU, stand up. Go green, go white.
Boom, 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 boom.
My homie, Ja'Kia Murphy, Teddy Simmons, Kaylin Jones. I got to say my people's name. But anyways, we've been working on like a postdoctoral kind of thing to help teachers. EdTrust, I want to say earlier this year, released a really, really lengthy but powerful article that K-Connect is also featured on that talks about, me and Yada are also featured on.
Claps, right? Claps,
also featured snaps. On. Yeah. Yep. And in the article, it just kind of talks about how the state of Michigan is suffering from a shortage and that there's a glut of alt-cert teachers and that those alt-cert teachers are disproportionately serving marginalized students. And there's a whole list of policy recommendations for how we deal with these issues, but one of them being we need to figure out better supports for these teachers. And so some of the postdoctoral work that me and my group have been working on has been looking at ways to do just that, to support teachers. Particularly, we're looking at ways to help teachers become culturally responsive and using data to do so. Because a lot of times when people say culturally responsive, there is no hard practices they're looking at. There is no hard data sets they're looking at. And so me and my team, we've been just working on some tools to help us quantify that impact. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to saying more about that at the APC if you guys are there. And also, big shout out, equitypartners.org. You want to check out the website? We got a website.
All right.
It's all right.
Nice. Just appreciate it. Thank you, guys. This is
awesome.
Yeah,
celebration.
All right. I will talk about my capstone a little bit. It was originally an op-ed on teacher pay. And then I started to think, you know, I don't know. We can talk about that for a long time, and it's not a discussion that I felt was as impactful as what I ended up writing about, which I was just inspired by K-Connect's whole model. So the collective impact model that we've mentioned before is kind of how I wrote my op-ed on how educators and communities have to come together and kind of follow this collective impact model to basically connect and get stuff done. And so what I, like, my main motivation for this is with the current political climate, I see a lot of people posting, and it's all over social media, everyone's opinions, and everyone has feelings about everything, right? The whole spectrum. And so I thought, okay, that's fine, but how do we actually get anything done? And so what I've learned throughout my entire experience at K-Connect is that it takes a village. And there's a whole quote going around, and I hear it all the time. I can't give credit to, like, who started it, because honestly, I just heard it on TikTok. But it's the whole idea of everyone wants a village and nobody wants to be a villager.
Oh, my.
That's deep.
It's deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I wholeheartedly, I have always said, right, like, the American way of living life has always felt a little bit foreign to me, no pun intended, because I'm foreign. But at the same time, I do think that, like, we just need to, like, different cultures have such a bigger emphasis on community, like, knowing your neighbors. Does everyone at this table even know all your neighbors down your block? Like, we should, you know, and I don't either. And so I started to get this idea of like, okay.
First of all, let's stop. I bet Chris knows. Oh, you know your neighbors?
Yes.
I know. Okay.
Shout out to Ken.
Yes. Okay.
That's good.
I looked at Chris over here. I'm like, I know he know this
whole
block.
That's wonderful.
That's a start. We got one out of four.
I know. I know faces.
I'm just like,
I actually made it a little goal within the next year to like give out little Brazilian treats to everybody in my block and say who I am and just to say hello. That's one of my goals. So anyways, I just started to think about what can we actually do? Because teachers, we don't have a lot of time, right? And so we're already kind of burnt out. We have passion, but what do we do with it? And then community members, parents, especially parents. I was heavily thinking of like, you know, the mom, the dad, the grandma who wants better for their child and doesn't know how to like connect or do anything extra because they're already so focused on survival. And so my whole op-ed, which I hope to do an actual project with it at my school, and I'll talk about that in a second, is just that, like how we can feel so bogged down by the idea that we're all in this like by ourselves, like, oh, I have, you know, I have fears, I have grievances, and I'm just going to dial in with all my stressors because, you know, I'm just all alone. And I just think that that's not true, but people just don't know how to come together and maybe when to come together and actually do work like this. And so I hope to get this out of, you know, a page, a piece of paper, a published article. And eventually the goal is to actually begin a group in my community, starting at my school, where, you know, teachers who are interested in just gathering, just being together in the same room and creating some sort of like shared policy agenda where we talk about, you know, what do we feel our community needs? And then eventually like getting these meetings going and talking about, okay, assigning roles, like you do this, you research that, and then we come together, we bring our findings, and then we go and maybe advocate just as regular citizens, right? We're not lobbying, we're not a part of like any extra job. It's just a group of people who want to do better and don't know really how to get that ball rolling.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
A lot of nuggets just drop. I mean, it's a lot of wow moments in this episode for me right now. Speaking of wow moments, we're wrapping up. We're coming to the end of our episode, but can you maybe share, just summing it up, maybe a wow that you've gotten from this experience? And can you connect maybe a message that you have for educators that are in the field and want to get involved in advocacy and need to know where to start, what to do?
Shout out to Ken.
The neighbor.
Right. I gotta stop. You know, one of the things that I've learned is, at least in the state of Michigan, we don't have, I mean, this is throughout the country, but definitely in Michigan, we don't have a centralized educational bureaucracy. And so that means that in Kent County, your ISD superintendent, Grand Rapids superintendent, Kent Wood superintendent, I think I'm getting the names right. Mm-hmm. These are people who hold a lot of power. And then the boards of education, they hold a lot of power. You can easily get caught up in focusing on what's happening at our federal government level. Those things are prescient. They have a lot of influence. They have a lot of impact. But, you know, I heard a superintendent at the Ed Summit say it. There's only, was that less than 10% of our budget comes from the federal government? Mm-hmm. That 10% is a lot of money. Yeah. But that means 90% is state level. And so my superintendent, I looked at a flow chart. My superintendent knows one of our appropriations chairs, or the appropriations chair. That means that his voice rings loud for the state. My superintendent, though, is like five-minute drive from me. he popped up in one of my third grade classrooms while I was doing a formal observation. What up, though, Soup? Mm-hmm. That's a conversation that I can have with him. And I guess where I'm going with that is that the big wow is that, you know, the locus of control with when it comes to education is where we live. Like, it's within our midst. There is nothing as it pertains to education that's outside of our scope. We can have an outsized impact on these things. It is the organized few who have a lot of impact on any particular thing as it pertains to education. And so all that is needed is imagination or an organization. And so it's been really dope to be a part of K-Connect because both of those things exist in surplus here. And so I think one of the things that I've kind of come to is, like, how do we spread that kind of expertise in areas in education but outside, because those same dynamics exist throughout our ecosystems in the state of Michigan. So
I love that. My wow is so similar. Yeah. Chris, you said exactly what we've been talking about during this whole fellowship, because outside of K-Connect work, we do work with Teach Michigan in these workshops. Our minds were blown when we learned about school funding and how much control the school board has. And I got all excited and I was like, I'm going to go to the school board meeting. And then I'm like, where's the time? but it's exactly that. It's reminding ourselves of how much power we have. And that's why I was like, you know, all about we need to come together and create this sort of community where people are encouraged to do exactly that. Focus on what can we do, because everyone can doom scroll and, you know, look at everything going on that we can't control, which is true. Yeah. You know, besides like the collective protests that are going on and everything. But locally, you're right. Like, there's so much power in the people that we see every day, once a month, you know, that we have access to. And I still have so much educating myself to do on exactly that. Like, my big wow, too, is like, wow, I have a lot of work to do still, you know. But it's all such a work in progress, and it started out amazing here, and we're going to continue on with K-Connect. So just excited for everything.
Yeah.
Love it, love it. Okay, so we're going to wrap up here, but I do have, Shayla, I got to add one more question to it. Okay, so I want to know if there's any teachers or educators out there that's like, I heard about that Teach for America fellowship, or I heard about that policy fellowship, or they heard you two talking in your buildings about the work that you've been doing. What's one sentence that you would say? We're going to say to one, keep it to one. What would you say to them? If someone was sitting in this room and they're like, should I do this policy fellowship? What would you say? I'm looking at you, Yara. You're first.
Okay.
Or even one word. I mean, one sentence, one word.
Yeah. I would say go forward with passion, because that's it. That's really what you need.
Awesome. What about you, Chris?
Apply.
All right. Okay. I love it. I love it.
Megan, what would you say to the organization that is contemplating if they should host a fellow?
So not a sentence comes to mind, but a word comes to mind. And I don't know if it's the right word. I want to say fulfilled.
Ooh.
Like, I feel really fulfilled. Like, we had no idea, like, really throwing spaghetti at the wall. Mm-hmm. That's kind of K-Connect form to try to figure out what this is and what we're doing. And just the growth and policy with you all. Like, we've learned with you. We've walked alongside you. We've had meetings with you. We're all growing. And so never did I imagine in the end where it's like, hey, y'all really want to go? You know, can y'all stay a little bit longer? I mean, just to have an educator's voice at the table as we're talking about education. And that's what happened. You have these spaces where folks are not necessarily in the day-to-day making decisions, like you said today. They're making decisions, but they're not there. They're not working with the students. They don't have a student coming to them with a plan, in most cases, saying, hey, this is for you, because of our conversation that we had about it. So I'm just fulfilled with this experience, and I'm looking forward to, you know, future work and, you know, coming over to Lansing and doing some work with Chris and meeting the squad that he has and being able to connect. So it's been beautiful. What about you, Shayla?
I feel like I can't add anything to that, because that to me is what I hold to about what this experience has been. It's been fulfilling. It's been just genuine. Like, we've genuinely been learning about each other, one another, the systems work, how to communicate system work to educators, vice versa, educators giving their insights and expertise to system level work. It has just been a genuine opportunity to build relationship, build awareness, and to glean from the expertise that educators hold. So, thankful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to thank our guests. Well, they're not guests. They're our family. Our family. Shout out to the Policy Fellows, K-Connects, Teach for America. But we're going to K-Connect and claim them. K-Connects, yes. Policy Fellows.
They are on the website.
These folks have come in.
We got headshots.
We got headshots. We did an advocacy day.
Come on.
They presented twice. Yes. They are truly, truly impacting areas and communities and counties. We in two counties now, y'all. Yeah. Near you. So check out this episode. Share it with friends, educators. If you're interested in the Teach for America Fellowship, the Policy Fellowship, Shayla, what's the
that link? Website is teachmi.org.
Thank you. I was looking through the paper like, what is it again? So thank you all. And don't forget to
tap, snap, clap it out.
All right. All right. Like and subscribe. Thank you all for today, and enjoy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for the Pace Forward podcast. This episode has been brought to you by Connect Us, transforming communities one system at a time.